A mochi moment from Tara, who writes, "For years, all my doctor said was eat less and move more, which never worked. But you know what does? The simple eating tips from my nutritionist at Mochi. And after losing over 30 pounds, I can say you're not just another GLP-1 source. You're a life source. Thanks, Tara. I'm Myra Amid, founder of Mochi Health. To find your Mochi moment, visit joinmochi.com.
Tara is a Mochi member compensated for her story.
If you're a maintenance supervisor at a manufacturing facility and your machinery isn't working right, Grainger knows you need to understand what's wrong as soon as possible. So when a conveyor motor falters, Grainger offers diagnostic tools like calibration kits and multimeters to help you identify and fix the problem. With Grainger, you can be confident you have everything you need to keep your facility running smoothly. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Gamertag Radio listeners, join me on my exclusive session on Bright called Podcasting 101, Building Your Community. I know we have a lot of listeners that want to start their own show, start their own podcast. They don't know what to do. They don't know how to market, how to get new listeners, etc. So join my session Tuesday, June 22nd, 5:30 p.m. Pacific Time, 8:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, and you could join and ask questions, learn from me. I've been podcasting now over 16 years, and there's going to be a lot of people there. The last session we had a lot, and we had a great conversation about how to market, to do certain things, certain tricks to get new listeners, how people could discover your show, etc. So this is your opportunity right now. Exclusively on Bright. All you have to do is go to this episode under the description here, and I have the link to where you go to the website and reserve your ticket. I only have a certain amount of tickets available. It's up to you now. Want to join and meet other podcasters and other content creators are going to be also attending this event. So June 22nd, Tuesday, June 22nd at 5:30 p.m. Pacific Time, 8:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Spread the word, and I'll see you there exclusively, once again, live on Bright.
Ladies and gentlemen, podcasting since 2005, you're listening to Gamertag Radio with your host, podcaster Hall of Famer Danny Pena, the always opinionated Paris Lilly, and from outside of the norm, Peter Toledo. This is Gamertag Radio.
All right, welcome to Gamertag Radio. This is a brand new episode, and this time, no solo episodes. I know you guys have been probably sick of my voice, so we're going to take a little short break from that. But this time, the return of the man himself, Paris Lilly. Paris, what's up, man?
What is going on, man? I'm back. I'm wearing my Andrea Strong shirt. Congrats to her and John on their bundle of joy. But yeah, I'm back, and let's talk some Ratchet and Clank, man. I'm excited.
Ooh, I can't wait for this. But wait, Paris. But we also have a guest, man.
Yes,
we do. A special guest here from my favorite podcast, The Throwdown Show. The man himself also returning here in GTR for this special podcast episode. Tony Polanco, man. Tony, what's up?
What's going on, fellas? Yo, I've been waiting to do this podcast for like 2 weeks, man. Aching, chomping at the bit. So let's do this, man. Ratchet and Clank, baby. Let's go.
Let's do this. But first, head over to GamertagRadio.com. Listen to our past episodes. You could also find us on any podcast app. All you have to do is just search for Gamertag Radio. Make sure to subscribe. Post your review on any podcast app. And it will help us out big time too, man. So, but if you also would like to be part of our family discussion or segment, and if you would like to also send us feedback about our review all about Ratchet and Clank, this is how you can contact us.
Send us your feedback or questions. Give us a call at 786-273-7GTR. Email us at fanmail@gamertagradio.com or leave a message on speakpipe.com/gamertagradio.
All right, so let's do this. So we got this game 2 weeks ago from Insomniac. And first of all, they're my favorite studio. You know, the creators of course, Ratchet and Clank games, Sunset Overdrive, Spider-Man, Miles Morales. Man, this game is incredible, man. I don't know how to start because this game is so awesome, man. I know Paris was the one.
Let me start this way.
Yeah. So, all right, go for it.
You bring up Insomniac, and I'm going to dare to say this. People can disagree with me all they want. That's fine. It's an opinion. But in my opinion, if you look at what Insomniac has been doing, I would say the good past 5 or 6 years, if you look at their last 3 or 4 games, it is all culminating with Ratchet and Clank Rift Apart. And I dare say they're the best developer in the world right now. They are. When I look at Ratchet and Clank Rift Apart, this is the best game that I have played in 2021, hands down, from the visuals to the music, the voice acting, the well-written story, the gameplay loop that's in here, some of the puzzle elements that you have, the boss encounters. This is just this is literally why you would buy a PlayStation 5. It is. I mean, you can talk Returnal and Astro's Playroom and some of the other games, but those are niche games that aren't for everyone. What Insomniac was able to pull off here, again, going back to the story, because I'm coming in hot. I literally finished this just a few hours before we jumped in. So I'm coming in hot. So the story's fresh in my mind. But what they've been able to do with their last few games is they get, when the credits roll, you care. You care. And that is such a unique trick that we see in video game stories, I would say the past decade. It's very rare that I literally care about these characters. I care about that world. I want to, like, I haven't done all the side stuff because, again, I had to kind of rush through it so I could complete it for this review. But I'm ready to go back. I'm ready to absolutely to go back. It is such a great video game. And that's the point. I just had so much fun playing it. It's fun as hell. Not to mention, you're playing a Pixar movie. That's how visually how good it looks. I got to play it in the performance ray tracing mode. My God, 60 frames, it's so freaking good. It's just visually stunning. Again, the voice acting, no spoilers here, but we obviously know about Rivet. Jennifer Hale is voicing Rivet along with some of the other, voice actors that we have in the game, and just the dialogue and just the performances that they were able to get in a video game is so good. And like I said, I think the best compliment I can give Ratchet & Clank Rift Apart, this is why you will buy a PlayStation 5 in 2021. Obviously, if you can get a hold of one because of the shortages. But this is the reason to own a PlayStation 5, in my opinion. Absolute masterpiece by Insomniac.
Yeah. Yeah. And I know I mentioned this multiple times that it reminded me so much of the other games that I played. Because here's the thing. I only started playing Ratchet & Clank was the last one that came out for the last previous console, right? And that's an amazing game too. But this one takes Ratchet & Clank to the next level. Plus, it reminded me so much of Spider-Man, Sunset Overdrive, or all the games that they worked on in the past. And they made it, Insomniac made it even better now. And they learned from the mistakes and the cool stuff that they made from the previous games. And now a plus with Ratchet & Clank. You know, it's like, it's so, so good. And like you said, Paris, I agree with you, man. I could sit down with anybody, even a non-gamer. They could watch this and be like, wow, this is an interesting movie. They think it's a movie the whole time. But it's a very long movie. You know what I'm saying? So, because the performance is great. There's some moments that, even in the first level, there's some parts in the first level that gave me goosebumps. That was like, this is freaking amazing. I just love the design. Love the wow moments. Like the last time I think we've seen something like that, I could compare this to, like, I know people might call me crazy, but I will compare this to like Mario Galaxy level, Mario 64, Zelda 64. Like when you play those games for the first time, you're like, what? Wow. When those new consoles came out during that time, that's how I feel playing this game with Ratchet and Clank, that type of level. And I know I mentioned this to Tony. Tony was like, wow, that's a high praise, man. You know what I'm saying? So, Tony, what'd you think about all this, what Paris and I have been saying, man, and your thoughts about Ratchet and Clank?
Yeah. The first thing I want to touch on, Paris, you said this, and it's funny because this is something I've already had in the back of my mind, and Ratchet & Clank just solidified it. Because when I played Miles Morales and, you know, Spider-Man, played that again, I was just like, yo, I think Insomniac may be Sony's best studio right now, bro. Yeah. I'm not trying to slight Naughty Dog or anything. They're up there, but like, I feel Insomniac makes games for everybody, right? Everybody could enjoy it. Even, you know, Last of Us, great games and all, but they're not really for everybody. But when I played Ratchet & Clank, I'm like, yeah, this is the studio. This is Sony's premier studio right now, man, because they just knocked it out of the park. And just to go back a little bit, I'm a fan of Ratchet & Clank since the first one, 2002, right? It was just called Ratchet & Clank, great game, and I've been through all of them. Like, I was looking at a list of games, I'm like, oh, the only ones I missed were on PSP. I played every single one of these games. So it's so cool how this game is both a sequel to Into the Nexus, which came out in 2013, but it's also a great jumping off point. If you've never played Ratchet & Clank, you're good to go, right? And then as far as the technical stuff goes, I love how every Insomniac game iterates on the previous one, right? When I played Sunset Overdrive, I was like, oh, this is like Ratchet & Clank on steroids. Then I played Spider-Man, like, oh, this is like Sunset Overdrive. Now I'm playing this, like, oh, this is like Spider-Man and Sunset Overdrive. So it just kept going and going and going. And then to what you said about the intro alone, we already saw some clips of it. Sony showed last year. But when you play that, you're in this. I mean, there's like a million like characters everywhere. Just so much stuff just throwing at you. But no stuttering, no issues whatsoever. And the voice acting in the series has always been good, but I do feel that it's been taken to yet another level, cinematic. And it's funny, the whole this is a Pixar movie, that's something that's been said about this series since the PlayStation 3, and it becomes even more true every time. PS4 Ratchet & Clank was like that. This one, like, you can't even tell. It's like, yo, is this like live action CG or is it like actual in-game? You can't even tell the difference, you know? The ray tracing looks insane. Like, you can see just reflections on everything. I love all the, you know, we're going to get into it, the dimensional hopping and all that, which is just insane, you know. And the last thing I'm going to say before we really get into it, just what you guys said, like, and Paris, you and I have been saying this since it was announced, like, this is the game. Buy a PlayStation 5 for this game. I know PlayStation 5 is a little bit hard to get to, but if there's a will, there's a way, get this game. This one is going to be a monster. I predict it. It's going to be huge, you know, just based off of the things we just know about the game and what we've been saying to ourselves. I can't wait for you guys out there listening to the show to play this, because you're going to be blown away. It's amazing. I'm not just saying that just because I got a Sony hat on. Like, this is the truth right now. Like, in Paris, like, even you had to rush through it and you still enjoyed it. Like me, I was so, and Sony, thank you. I got this 2 weeks. I chilled. I was like, I'm taking my time. But even that, even with that, I still beat it in 3 days. It was so good. I didn't want to stop. Go ahead.
No. Sorry. I didn't even interrupt on that. No, I'm just agreeing with everything that you're saying. Yeah. Even though, you know, I had to play it in a more rushed state over the weekend just because I was out of town, but I enjoyed every minute of it. I never ran into moments where I'm like, oh, okay, God, I need to take a break from this. I wanted to keep going because I was engaged with what was happening in front of me. And kind of just going back to your PlayStation 5 point, this is why I'm saying it's a complete package, because, you know, you turn on the Pulse 3D audio, the way that is utilizing the DualSense at the same time. Obviously, the visuals are on point. With the SSD, this is how we're able to do the stuff with the various Rifts and things like that. I mean, it's taken this series. Like, I've always been a fan of Ratchet & Clank, but to me, this was the best one. And again, no spoilers on the story or everything, but I will just simply say the introduction of Rivet was fantastic. And it added a dimension to characters we already knew, and it put another layer on it by putting us in a different dimension. Like Rusty Pete, to be honest with you, Rusty Pete might be my favorite character in this one. Him as Pierre LeFlair absolutely had me rolling every time he showed up on the screen. But that was the point. It put a different layer on characters we already knew from, you know, God, almost 20 years of Ratchet & Clank, right? And it felt refreshing. The gameplay loop felt good. The weapons felt good. I was encouraged to want to use different weapons and different combinations and to try and chain them together, you know, with the various encounters that I had. The boss encounters felt fun. The puzzles weren't too easy, but they weren't too punishing at the same time. It did make me think when I was doing, and again, not a spoiler thing, but you will do some puzzle stuff with Clank, things like that. So all in all, I freaking loved it. And yes, the game is linear. You know, it's really not an open world. I mean, there's a little bit of exploration you'll do on some of the planets, but for the most part, this is linear. You will have some of the side mission stuff. Like, I didn't deep dive on that, full disclosure, again, because I wanted to get to the end of the game. But I did do a few side mission things. I did jump into the pocket dimensions and grab some of the armor that you'll be able to get through those. And, you know, it's that entire loop was just fun to me. You know, as soon as I got a new weapon, I was excited to start leveling it up and add to the skill tree and unlock different perks, things like that. So like, ooh, I could do this now. All right, now I could take the sprinkler. I'll chain that with the lightning, and then I'll get the eliminator, my shotgun, yes. And I'll chain. You know what I'm saying? So it's like that loop as you're going through, fun as hell. Even the stuff where you're on rails. Where, look, that's just classic Ratchet and Clank stuff, right? But introducing the rifts added a unique aspect to it, to where it wasn't just the same old stuff that I've been doing the past 10 years. It was like, okay, here's the rifts. This is a mechanic I know of, but now you're switching dimensions instantly. And that's where the SSD comes in from the PlayStation 5, things like that. And it all just culminated into this fun experience. I don't know any other way to say it except Ratchet and Clank Rift Apart is fun as hell. I mean, that's to sum it up. It's just fun as hell. I loved it. I can't wait to jump back in after we finish recording this and continue to play it. That's how much I enjoyed it.
Go ahead, Danny. I just wanted to touch I love how, because this game plays like the previous games, and the rhythm mechanic, it's both new, but it also blends so well
with the
established mechanics. So it just feels like a natural part of your arsenal. And you're right about that. How dope is that? You're riding on a rail, right? You know, that staple of the series. And then all of a sudden, there's a rift. You open up, you're bam, on another dimension, riding through, jumping around. Then you jump to another dimension. It's like, it just became seamless. It's so crazy. And I love how it becomes part of your strategy. Like, because this game... Because you could not only can you do dimensional rifting, but you could also do dashing, right? So this game throws a ton of enemies at you. So you have to constantly rift around, dash around, use weapons and stuff. It gets so hectic, but at the same time, it's like controlled chaos. You never feel like the game is throwing too much at you. There's always that bit of control in there, you know? So again, I love the way the new mechanics make the old gameplay, which is tried and true. Like, again, Paris, you and I have been playing this for 20 years. Like, it's in your blood, you know? It's in like muscle memory how to play this game, you know? You're jumping, strafing, and all that, but then you add all this other stuff. It's incredible, like you said, you know? My bad, Danny. Go ahead, bro.
No, I was going to say that, you know, I finished the game, and what I've been doing is now playing the challenge mode.
Yes.
And let me tell you, that is brutal. It is brutal. It's not easy at all. But the thing that I like about it, man, because let's say you already completed the game and you already did all the side missions, right? You could go back and do challenge mode. You will grab all the items that you already unlocked, all the weapons, right? And now... You will, through challenge mode, now you could upgrade your weapons, like level wise, even higher. And you could also purchase more weapons, but it's expensive and it's more powerful. Like, it's going to take some time for you to actually purchase it. But yeah, I've been playing it out, and it's very, very brutal. But here's one thing I do have to say, man. It is not easy to make a family game that is fun, that everybody's going to like. That's not easy to do, man. You know, I know various companies have tried to do like a family-friendly game, platformer, and it's always failing every single time. Because sometimes they want to try to copy like Mario games or other previous well-known platformer games, and it just never worked out. And then Samyak just—I feel like they found the formula of how to make the game right. They've done it before with their previous games, but they made it even better for this one, man. Like, honestly, this is the game that made me wanted to buy a PS5 as soon as I got to see this for the first time last year. You know what I'm saying? It wasn't Spider-Man Miles Morales. It wasn't other games. You know, it was this game. You know what I'm saying? So I'm very happy that I managed to get an opportunity to play this early, man. And I'm excited for the world to play this, man, because I think this is a very special game. And to me, it's a contender to Game of the Year too, man, because it's so, so good for
right,
sure. Man.
Right now, it is my Game of the Year as we sit here today. It is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So like it's on that level. Yeah. You're right. It's like I can't say that enough. And I want to say, because my review over at PC Mag will be live right now, I give this a 5 out of 5. I don't get games 5 out of 5, but when I finish the game, I'm like, I can't find any faults. This is perfect. Like, obviously, there's maybe little glitches here, but, you know, you don't count that stuff. Like, there is nothing wrong with this game. That's how good it is. So it's definitely up there for contender year. And I guarantee you, when people get their hands on it, they're going to be like, they're going to listen to this podcast. Like, yo, those guys were right. This is on that level.
Mm-hmm. Now, my question I do have for you guys, like, what is, like, the weapons of choice that you like the most on this? Like, was there, like, for me, I was always switching. Like, I was more of, like, the grenades and rockets, you know, and sometimes I use the electric gun. That will pause the enemy for a second. They're like panicking. And I just love the voices of for each character. Every time you use that, it is so much fun every time that happens, man. So
yeah, go ahead. I'll jump in on that because I'm going to tell you my go-to combo every time I ran into an encounter. I'm throwing down the sprinkler. Sprinkler is my favorite weapon, by the way. When you turn everyone into hedges and stuff, I freaking love it. But I'm throwing down the sprinkler. I'm throwing down the fungi, right? So because he'll sit there and shoot at him. So I throw both of those immediately. Soon as the sprinkler grabs some of them, I then switch to the lightning. I chain the lightning because it'll chain to all the enemies, right? So it starts working on them. And then I switch over to the eliminator, the shotgun, and I'm just blasting fools. Rinse and repeat. I might go, what was it, the neutron? Is it the neutron gun? Is that what you call it? Where it puts out that big blast, like you can just like almost like a wave gun, like boom.
Oh, bang. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I'm talking about. I might use that like if it's a boss or whatever, like one of the big ships or something, I might hit him with that. Mm-hmm. But that tends to be like those are kind of my go to favorites. And then obviously you got the blaster, like because I had leveled that up as well. But that was kind of the one where I'm just dealing with just random enemies. I'll hit him with the blaster. But when I know I'm going into a big encounter, I typically go with that combo, and it seemed to work out pretty well. And it was fun. Yeah, yeah. Again, fun as hell. That's the whole point. Having fun doing it.
The game encourages you to mix it up.
Yes.
Too. And Danny, just because when you asked the question, it's not so much like what are my favorite weapons. It was more of what are my favorite strategies, right? And my strategy is similar to yours, Paris. What I like to do is I like to go in there and I like to throw these little robot minions, throw all of them out there,
throw the fun guys,
and then throw out the ice because they encase them in ice and stuff. And then when everybody's all packed up and stuff, I'll bring out the big wave. I forgot the name. It's like whatever. Use that. When I unlock the rhino, I start using that when things get too crazy. And then, but one of my favorite ones was it's like a missile launcher. That's good for the big enemies. And then the black hole, which is like an assault rifle that turns things to the black hole. I eliminate all the enemies around me, the ground guys. And then obviously the dudes that are really far away, bring out the sniper rifle, bam, you know, you shoot them in the head. And it's just, like you said, it's so much fun. It's so satisfying. And Danny, I want to bring up a point where you said about family games, because originally the series was T for Teen. It was a little bit more raunchy in the beginning, right? Coming to PS3, it became more, it was E for everyone, but it never lost the challenge. I remember, and I'm going to assume you guys played on normal like I did. You could turn that challenge up. You could turn it up a lot. So this is, even though it is family friendly, you could turn it to casual if you want. You can get a hardcore experience. And playing this, I feel the same exhilaration that I would if I'm playing like a Destiny or something. It just gets so intense, you know, and you have to really think strategically. Like, if you stay in one place, you're going to die. You have to constantly move around the battlefield, and the game encourages you to do that. So, yeah, like, by the time I finished the game, you know, the first time around, because I did play some of the challenge mode, I had all my weapons unlocked, like maxed out to level 5, because I just kept cycling through them over and over and over again, you know? So a lot of crazy combinations, really fun stuff. And Danny, what about you? What was your favorite combination of weapons or strategies to use?
Yeah, just mentioned, like I was always using the grenades. Like I will use the default weapon, right? But sometimes I noticed that really didn't kill the enemies that fast. So I would always use either the shotgun, the grenades, and the lightning, the electric gun. I'm always using those weapons. But here's the thing I like. You could change those weapons and you put it on your D-pad if you want. Like Paris, I know you mentioned those, and Tony, you mentioned those weapons. You could program it, put in your D-pad. So you just click the D-pad, left, right, up, whatever, and it will switch automatically. Or just hold the top triangle button, and you could also select it from there. But the thing is, you collect so many weapons that you're going to have multiple pages of just weapons. Right now I'm like in the third page, man. Like I have a lot unlocked, you know, and I think there's a couple more that I have to unlock now with challenge mode, man. So but yeah, it's so much fun. That's the ones that I'm always using every single time, and it works. But sometimes you run out of bullets and you're like, okay, I need to use something that I've never used before. It all depends on the moment, you know what I'm saying? So but I do have to mention that Insomniac it's so good with those boss battles experiences. Because it's one of those, like, it panic, like, you get nervous because there's so much stuff going on, right? Like you said, Tony, you can't stay in a certain area because if you stay there, you will automatically get hurt or even die, right? But they managed to make the experience so much fun that if I fail, it was because of me. It wasn't because of the game. And I'll go keep on and try until I managed to beat the boss. You know what I'm saying? So they did that with Sunset Overdrive and other previous games too with Spider-Man. And I think they're just so good in those boss battles, man. What did you guys think about that?
Yeah, the boss battles were good, man. Yeah. Like, I liked how cinematic they were. Here's the thing. They were scripted, but at the same time, they let you use different strategies. It's funny you mentioned the sprinkler powers. I really used them a lot against the bosses. They worked perfectly. So
exactly.
Some of the bosses, you saw it's like they move so fast. Sometimes you got to just lock them into place real quick and just start blasting them with like rockets and all this other stuff. Boss battles, you know, here's the thing. Boss battles were always a good thing in this series, and this one doesn't really like stray from that. They're all a lot of fun, you know. The only thing is, like, sometimes they do repeat some of the bosses a lot. There's this one giant type of robot. But other than that, yeah, they're really great. What do you think, Paris, about the boss battles?
No, completely agree. I love the boss encounters. I thought, yeah, again, it's going to force you to kind of go into your arsenal and try out some different weapons and things like that. You're not just going to hit them with one weapon the entire time and think you're going to be successful. And then again, this just power to PlayStation 5 and what Insomniac's been able to pull off. You have so many other little minor enemies and so much stuff just going on in the background. It really does feel like chaos when you're in some of these boss battles, and it's fantastic. And, you know, they were showing off. The lighting team was absolutely showing off with some of the ray tracing effects that they had with some of the explosions and things that we're able to see, you know, when you're in those type of encounters as well. Like, again, just a visual showcase. Really, really was. Oh, one thing I forgot to mention before when you're talking, Tony, we're talking about the Pixar stuff and all that.
Yeah.
I love, and this is where I think we've been talking about, oh, Ratchet and Clank is like a Pixar thing for 20 years. But I feel like this truly hits that mark with this game, because the way they're able to seamlessly transition from cutscenes into actual gameplay, you wouldn't know. You're just right on in playing the game. Next thing you know, you're in a cutscene, you're having dialogue going back and forth, and it all just works. Like, I even love how the game is smart enough, like when you start to get some of the armor and the helmets and everything, right? Like, it's smart enough to know, all right, Rivet has a helmet on. As you go into a cutscene, it starts to fade. Like, she's turned, she's taking the helmet off, and then now she's in the cutscene talking to you. And then when she's done, she's putting it back on, and boom, you're right back in the gameplay like you were before. All of it's just top notch, just absolutely fantastic. Again, this is what I'm telling you right now, man. People can argue Naughty Dog whatever they want, and that's all great, because again, we're talking the best of the best at this point. But Insomniac is best of the best right now.
Oh yeah,
with what they're doing, without a freaking doubt.
Yeah. Yeah, I just want to jump on two quick things. Just for clarity's sake, I wasn't saying that, oh, we've been saying that about, you know, the whole Pixar-ness as to say, oh, we've heard it before. I'm just saying they keep getting closer to it. And I think really done it.
Exactly.
And Paris, it's funny what you said about, like, the whole showing off thing. There's this one part. Remember, okay, it's the first city, I think it's Nefarious City, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I'm walking up the side of a building, right? And I noticed, I was like, okay, not only is all this neon stuff going on, but there's also, like, light drizzle. Right.
Yes.
And Paris, I'm not kidding. That was literally the thing I said. I was like, okay, you guys are just showing off now, bro.
Yeah.
You guys are just showing off right now. Because usually in games, it's like, it's a crazy downpour. It's like, no, it was very sudden. I'm like, hold on, that's drizzle. Holy crap. This is insane. So, yeah, these guys are just masters. They are masters of the craft, you know. And again, you know, and I said this before, I'm going to keep saying it. This is a crowd pleaser, man. Everybody could play this and enjoy it. It's just that good, you know, on so many levels. Story, controls, graphics. It's, man. Yeah. This is why I was so hyped to do this podcast, bro. I'm so glad to say all this stuff.
Now, I have to bring this up. I know we talk a lot about Pixar and everything, but let's talk about the audio of this game, man. Especially, I'm going to go first with the DualSense sound that comes up from the controller. Again, there's a lot of studios that don't take advantage of the controller, of the DualSense. I personally think that so far, all the PlayStation studios has been doing a pretty good job with that, right? And I think Insomniac did an amazing job with this. Like, look, let's say you're controlling Ratchet. You feel him walking and running in the controller, right? You hear the sounds of shooting or picking up all those like little the money, what's it called?
The bolts.
The bolts, there you go. You collect that, you hear it in the controller. You feel like you're mm-hmm. collecting, like it feels like you're in the game too, man. Like I had that experience the whole time I was playing this game. I was like, this is so freaking awesome, yo.
You want to know an awesome use of the DualSense? And this is right at the beginning when you're in the Ferris City and yeah. you're going to that club and the music and it's just, and you literally feel that in the controller as you're going to it. Oh, dude, it's so good. So good.
Yo. Yeah. So good. And that's the thing that I want. I want more students to take advantage of that, man. Like I think Insomniac did an amazing job with that part, man. Tony, what do you think about that too, man? About the DualSense controller?
And I'm glad we're talking about this now because some weapons, like because the weapons are kind of characters in a way, they make specific noises through the speaker, you know, like they'll be like doo-doo-doo-doo-doo, little things like that, like when you fire them. Mm-hmm. That's really dope. And I really liked how, you know, when you run out of weapons, they like you hear the click, but the click also comes through the controller. Like oh, I gotta change it, you know. But like when you have headphones on, you hear everything around you, and I love how every world has its distinct sounds. Like there's this one world where it's like a more primitive dinosaur world, which is actually one of the old worlds from one of the older games. Yes. That's one thing we didn't talk about. It's like, yo, some of these levels are just remixes of old ones, right? So you hear that, you hear the pterodactyls in the background, you hear the lake in front of you. I'm like, yo, this is wild. And there's this one level, and you guys have seen it, where it's like you're outside, you're like anti-gravity outside or whatever, and you almost hear the void of space, you know, and you only really hear the sounds of whatever you would hear in your helmet when you're outside. And then as soon as you change dimensions, you hear like lava and all this. I'm like, yo, this is crazy. But at the same time, all the sounds come through very distinctly. You can hear every little thing. Like when the bolts, you feel like they're dropping bolts on your head or something, you know. It's not overwhelming. Yeah. And couple that with the DualSense controls, right? Because like this is what we're talking about. Like I love what they did in Astros, don't get me wrong, but I always ask, like, are we going to get a more subtle version of these type of haptic feedbacks? We saw that with Returnal, and then this one does it even better, you know, not only with the haptics, but also the sounds that come out of the controller. So you mix the 3D audio, you have the haptic sounds. It's just incredible, man.
You're listening to Gamertag Radio.
All right, Gaming Tag Radio listeners, we're going to talk about our sponsor, and then we're going to continue with our review of Ratchet & Clank. But first, let's talk about Oregon State University eCampus. Gamers like you know how rewarding it is to begin a quest and see it through till the end. Now, Oregon State University eCampus wants to help you complete another journey as you pursue your degree online. Oregon State eCampus is a nationally ranked provider of online education, delivering more than 80 programs online. You can advance your career by earning a degree in fields like computer science, business, and engineering. I wish I had something like this back when I started with GTR. You know, I wanted to know more about how to create online creation, how to also start a business, et cetera, right? And I didn't have the opportunity. And you, the listener, this is your opportunity right now to go to Oregon State of eCampus official website, and you could browse and look at all the programs that's there and just look around and see which one is perfect for you to learn online, right? Look at, I'm going to give you a perfect example. Look at Jake Chansonine. He's a photographer who's traveled around the world capturing music biggest stars on stage. He is someone who built his career as a creative by gaining real-world skills as he completed his digital communication arts degree online with Oregon State. With students in all 50 states and more than 50 countries, you will engage and also collaborate, which is important to me, to network with a worldwide network of classmates. And Oregon State eCampus is also ranked number 4 in the nation for online education by U.S. News and World Report. So, look, if you want to learn more about this, exactly how Jake did it with a digital communication arts degree and plus 80 programs
from Oregon State eCampus that delivers online. Visit ecampus.oregonstate.edu/GTR today. Remember, that's ecampus.oregonstate.edu/GTR.
This is Gamer Tag Radio. Voicemail at 786-2737-GTR.
Yeah. No, it's so good. So good. And one thing I forgot to mention too, man, like the first level especially, man. Look, I tell you this, you play that first level, I think that will basically change your mind about playing the game or not, man. That first level is so freaking amazing. But I love, like, you're walking in the city and it feels like you're in the world, and you look around, you see what the reaction of the crowd is, what they're doing, right? In the background. Even if you go, let's say you walk away instead of going to the path where it's part of the story and you just go somewhere on the side, you even see stuff there. You're like, oh my God, this is so cool. Like, yes, there's stuff going on. It feels like a real world the whole time you're playing, man. It's oh my God, so good. So good. Paris, you're going to say something about that? Or Okay. All right. Now, what else, man, I was going to say. So we mentioned about the controllers. Now, what is your preference to play this? Do you prefer to play this in 4K? Or you want to play this on like 60 frames per second? Because for me, I think that's like the way for me to go. Like, I think I enjoy it. I didn't even notice. I was just playing it. Didn't even care much about like the 4K or anything like that, because I think I still had a great time with it, man. What, Paris, you want to go with that for you?
Performance ray tracing.
Performance?
Mode, because you're getting 60 frames. You're getting the ray tracing. So you're getting the complete package of what this game is supposed to be. And, you know, I, obviously over the years, I've been a staunch, hey, I 4K, I want 4K native and all that. I'd rather have the ray tracing and the frames. And again, I don't know this 100%. I'll have to go back and look through the review material. But I mean, I believe at that resolution, it's 1440p, I believe it's doing. And then obviously it'll just upscale to 4K from that point. I couldn't tell you the difference. Looked fine to me. Everything looked great. So that's how I would suggest everyone play. Now, if you're just a purist that you got to have native 4K, that is there for you, but it will be in 30 frames per second. So just realize that. But to me, playing this at 60 frames with ray tracing is preferred. So that's how I would play it.
Yeah, what about you, Tony?
Yeah. So when I played it originally, we didn't have the 60 frames patch yet, right? So I played it at 30 frames, 4K, which I've been very public about this, and people have given me flack about it. Like, I don't mind playing games that have 30 frames a second, right? And when a game like this, 30 frames makes it feel more cinematic. So I was not a problem at all. But with that said, bro, when I uploaded that 60 frames patch, oh my God. Another level. Mm-hmm. I felt the same way I did with Miles Morales, man, because I played Miles Morales at 4K 30. I'm like, this is incredible. Can I get better than this? The ray tracing is legit. This is insane. Then I popped into 60 RT. I'm like, no, this is it. Because you're right. Unless you have like a counter, you're not going to notice the dip in frames. Because I believe it's 1440p, but it also fluctuates depending on the situation. So I will say, and I'm guaranteeing even Digital Foundry is going to tell you this. They said this with Miles Morales. Play it at 60 frames ray tracing mode. That's the best of both worlds, because it plays smoother. And I did notice, I'm like, oh, these battles are a little bit easier now at 60 frames a second, you know, because the game plays smoother. But you get the ray tracing and the resolution is still good, especially if you have a good television that upscales. So that's my preferred. As a matter of fact, that's what I've been chomping at the bit, waiting for that update so I could go back and play the game again at 60 frames a second. So I want to see how the transitions between the cinematics is. Usually cinematics, you're kind of used to them being at 30 frames a second, then the main game being 60 frames, but this is 60 frames the entire time. So I'm looking forward to that. You know, what about you, Danny? What's your preferred way to play?
Like that 60 frames per second for me. I think it's a lot smoother like that for me, man. You know? So I'm not one of those, like, I need to play in 4K. If it's there, if it looks good, it's fine. But I'm okay with performance mode. I think that's the way to go for me, man. So, anything else before we wrap this up? For me, one question I do want to ask you guys. One more. This is very important. Very important.
Yeah.
What you think about Rivet, new character in the series? Just, you know, in the game for you guys, the Paris, what you think?
I already said it at the beginning. I mean, again, I don't want to spoil the game for people. She's not the only character, but it adds a layer to the 20 years that we've known of Ratchet and Clank. She adds another layer to it that really excited me about the game. I wanted to know more about Rivet. I want to see more adventures with Rivet. You know what I'm saying? Not to mention some of the other characters were introduced in the new quote unquote dimension. I want more of that. I again, this is why I'm telling you Insomniac's the best in the biz right now, because and it's so funny because I know who the lead writer is for this game and what her and her team was able to do. I cared. That's the whole point. I care about Rivet. That's the best compliment I can give this game. When those credits rolled, I cared. And if a video game can do that, you already won me over if I can care about that. So absolutely. Mm-hmm. Rivet. And again, Jennifer Hale, legendary in this industry. If you didn't tell me that was Jennifer Hale, wouldn't have known. Wouldn't have been like, oh, that's Jennifer Hale. Because, you know, sometimes you could tell with the voice actors.
Yeah.
No, you wouldn't know. Nailed it. That's how good she is.
Yep. Yeah, yeah. And I know there's companies that studios have done that. Like, they'll introduce a new character, and a lot of people might not care about that character at all. I didn't get that at all. Like, I just love Rivet. And like you said, Paris, I want to know more about her. I would love to see her in the future. Hey, even a solo game, I'm good with that too, man. Like, I'm ready. I'm ready for whatever they plan to do in the future with Rivet. She's a really dope character.
I guess that's kind of the point I'm saying without spoiling anything is – I would love to see a Rivet game.
Yeah.
And you know what I mean. So I'll leave it there.
But I'm exactly. Trying to be very careful here. Yep, for sure. Exactly. This one I want to say about Rivet, right? Again, no spoilers, but she's exactly who I thought. She's like, oh, but because there's dimensions going on here. So, and I'm deep into this. I'm like, is she? I'm like, yep, she is. I'll get to the characterization a bit, but I love the fact that she plays no different than Ratchet. It's the same thing, yes. Right? And I think it was a smart move to have it so your weapons transfer between both characters. That way you keep playing a game, you don't have to worry about that. Oh, do I need to outfit this character with this thing? Do I need to outfit him with that? No, nothing. You just keep playing. It's all smooth. Everything transfers over. You know, again, I can't say like when she plays better. She plays exactly like a Ratchet, so no problems there. But you're right about that because they're – and I'm just going to say it, right? Last of Us 2, Abby was very divisive, right? People liked her or didn't like her. You're not going to see that with Rivet. You're going to love her from the jump because, again, they're just masters, man. Like, I don't know how many times I can say it. These guys, they're like wizards. Like, how do you do this, man? Like, and again, you know, Rivet's not the only character you're going to care about in this game. But, again, brand new character you have no connections to. But even, like, an hour after meeting him, you care. You want to know more. And I'm very interested to see where this is going because I'm guarantee you this is not me spoiling anything. This is just what I believe. We will see more because they've created classic characters as far as I'm concerned. But also at the same time, you don't diminish the established guys, right? Ratchet and Clank are still up there getting their shine, you know, and the new characters are just as good. So it's going to be really cool seeing how this universe that's already rich enough as it is, you know, just gets even bigger, you know. So, yeah, Rivet all the way.
Yeah, definitely. All right, so we're going to wrap it up here because we're running out of time here. But it's look, again, Insomniac, great job. Game of the year for me. This is by far one of my favorite games. And look, if you have a PlayStation 5 or you plan to get a PlayStation 5, you need to buy this game. This is a must-have. That's it. It's a must-have. You need to get this game, man. It's so good, man. So any last words, Paris? Tony, go Paris, anything you want to say before we wrap it up?
You said it perfectly. This is the reason to get a PlayStation 5.
Yeah, exactly.
That's it. Get the game.
Get the game. All right, everyone. Thank you for listening to Gamertag Radio, our special review here of Ratchet & Clank. And shout out to PlayStation for providing the review codes, man. It was a lot of fun. And I can't wait for the future games from Insomniac. And actually, they tweeted something that I'm like, wait a minute. This is Sunset Overdrive coming up next for PlayStation 5. Once that happens, I'm definitely going to go and play that game right away. All right, so we're going to wrap it up here. This is Gamertag Radio. You can listen to our past episode at gamertagradio.com and find us on any podcast app. Just search for Gamertag Radio. Make sure to subscribe, follow us, and post a review. If you would like to send us your feedback, questions, anything, you just want to talk to the crew and you want to be part of fan mail, here's how you can contact us.
Send us your feedback or questions. Give us a call at 786-273-7GTR. Email us at fanmail@gamertagradio.com or leave a message on speakpipe.com/gamertagradio.
All right. Until next time, Tony, thank you so much for joining us. Mention your website and also Twitter so people could follow you if you want, man.
Yeah.
So and also check podcasts.
Yeah, yeah, well, obviously. So follow me on Twitter, Romudeth, R-O-M-U-D-T-H. And in the bio, you're going to see all the plays I write for. I write for Laptop Mag and PC Mag. PC Mag is where you will find my full review of Ratchet & Clank. Go check that out. And you can also follow me on the Throwdown Show podcast over on Twitch and YouTube and any podcast app on the planet. We go live every Thursday and Sunday at 10:30 p.m. Eastern. Thursday is where we cover all the gaming news. Sunday is where we answer fan questions. And this week, particularly, we'll be doing a lot of E3 streams covering all the events. So stay tuned for that. And again, I want to thank you guys for having me on. I always love chopping up with you guys here and off camera. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
so
yeah.
Good times, definitely, good times, man. So yeah, man. And again, go buy this game if you got a PS5. I'm telling you, man, this is real right now.
Yeah, definitely, man. All right, guys. Until next time, we're out. Peace. Later.
Thanks for listening to Gamertag Radio. Be sure to like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter.
A mochi moment from Tara, who writes, "For years, all my doctor said was eat less and move more, which never worked. But you know what does? The simple eating tips from my nutritionist at Mochi. And after losing over 30 pounds, I can say you're not just another GLP-1 source. You're a life source. Thanks, Tara. I'm Myra Amit, founder of Mochi Health. To find your Mochi moment, visit joinmochi.com.
Tara is a Mochi member compensated for her story.
If you're a maintenance supervisor at a manufacturing facility and your machinery isn't working right, Grainger knows you need to understand what's wrong as soon as possible. So when a conveyor motor falters, Grainger offers diagnostic tools like calibration kits and multimeters to help you identify and fix the problem. With Grainger, you can be confident you have everything you need to keep your facility running smoothly. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.